Big mouth don't make a big man.
Welcome to the Battle of the Brothers, Utah Utes and BYU Football Podcast. We're two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan. Battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. I'm your host, C Double. Let me introduce you to our battling brothers. Our BYU fanboy here is TC. What's up, TC?
Rise and shout, the Cougars are out.
Oh boy, we got this guy taking the fight song into the introduction now. Oh boy. All right, our Utes diehard is K-Ray. What's up, K-Ray?
Game for any fuss, baby, bring it.
I just hear both schools' fight songs in the introduction here. Oh boy. All right, let's start it off with the Utes. So, K-Ray, Utes looked good. They actually looked like they were game for any fuss. So give it to us, man. What do you say about this week's win?
Wow. Well, I mean, look, it was fantastic. I mean, we thought we played well against Stanford. We thought it was coming together, but this week against Arizona, wow, we've really played really well. I mean, Britton Covey, it's like he was in high school throwing touchdown passes. It was cranking on all cylinders, and it was a lot of fun to finally see what we thought we had all along. We thought we had it. Utah fans, we knew this was possible, and we saw flashes of it against Stanford, and it all came together against a pretty darn bad Arizona team.
Yeah, Arizona was bad, real bad. So, okay. Yeah. TC, give us your thoughts on the Utah Utes beating down on the Kitty Cats.
Man, I didn't realize how bad Arizona was until this game. I actually thought Arizona was going to give them a run for their money, and maybe it's just because in past years they've done that. I still have images and flashbacks, unfortunately, of Travis Wilson coming out and warming up with his shirt off before the Arizona game.
You really paying close attention to that? Wow,
it's an image that's hard to get out of your mind. Trust me.
I'll take your word for it.
Now they look good. I mean, Utah looked really good. It's Huntley looks like he's putting all the pieces together. You know, Utah always does well when they do trick plays. They had several trick plays. And ultimately, though, you know, the Arizona team, I do think, looked pretty bad. So I think it was a combination of both Utah playing very well at a really, really high level, which they did against Stanford. So they're continuing that. And Arizona just not having anything. I mean, their quarterback's been hurt since probably, you know, game one or two, and couldn't do anything, had to go to second string quarterback. And so I don't know. I don't know how much to draw from this, but definitely Utah is playing much better than they were the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, okay. And Arizona went to their third string quarterback, actually.
Yeah,
Tate, then Joyner, and then Rich Rodriguez's son, Rhett Rodriguez, who actually played pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I saw that name, and I was wondering if that was his son. But yeah, I didn't realize he was like an old holdover. Okay.
Yeah. He stayed after his old man got kicked to the curb. So here's the question that I want to pose to both of you. Now, before we get to the BYU, all right. Well, let me hold this off till we talk about the BYU game. So, all right. All right, we got your takes on the Utes game. I think that the Utes finally had everything coming together. But like we said, Arizona was really bad. But Utes were firing on all cylinders. And I talked to K-Ray about this. My only concern is that they're giving away all their great plays for USC to see. I mean, how many more great plays do they have up their sleeve? I don't know if they have many more. They should have kind of held off on some of those trick plays because now USC just got all the film on it. So,
Cameron, yeah. Thoughts on that? Yeah, no, you and I were texting during the game that very topic, and specifically when Covey threw to Huntley for the touchdown. And then someone said, well, why'd they run the fake punt? Well, I believe I've been told that Mitch Wishnowsky has the green light whenever he thinks he can do it. He can run it. So, the same thing happened against Weber State. I believe there was a fake against Weber State, and on the sideline, you could see Kyle Whittingham say, what happened? Why'd you do it? And Mitch was like, well, I mean, they're beating Weber State. And Mitch is like, well, I not that good of a lip reader, but there was a reason he did it. And someone said he's got the green light whenever he thinks he can go because he's such a good athlete.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was a called fake, but
trick play. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Good game. Very good game. Very, very good game. Very exciting. Zach Moss only 68 yards, but he was effective. He ran for 4.5 per. They really spread the ball around a lot. Tyler Huntley ran it 11 times. Armon Shain ran it 8 times, and T.J. Green even ran it 4 times, and he really doesn't play. Doesn't get a lot of carries anyway. So I don't know if Zach was hurt or why they spread it around. Maybe it was just they were dominating Arizona so early that they didn't want to get Moss hurt. That could be the reason. But good game for the Utes.
All right, so let's move over to the Cougars game. TC, what do you say? I mean, this has got to be an exciting time to be a Cougars fan, seeing how the entire team was improved with Wilson in as QB. So give us your thoughts on all this.
So, I hate to say it, I'm vindicated, but I'm vindicated.
You love to say it.
I mean, I don't know. You can go back and forth and argue should Wilson started previous to this game or not. I was of the opinion Wilson should have started game one of the season. He looked so much better than Tanner did. It was just a different class, and people can say, well, you know, look at the percentage, the passing percentage wasn't that much different, but I mean, Tanner's getting most of his completions on checkdowns to, you know, the guy that's 2 yards upfield, whereas Wilson is scrambling, extending the play and finding guys 10, 15 yards downfield. So And I think his energy, his confidence was contagious. You saw that on both sides of the ball. Our offensive line was excited, getting a better push. Our running backs were running harder. Our defense was actually getting to the quarterback. Now, that probably gives some credit to, you know, the defensive scheming and the coaches. I mean, not, you know, Zach Wilson didn't go out there and sack the Hawaii quarterback 4 times. It was the defense who did that, but you could just tell there was a different energy associated with this football game. And, you know, I'll say 3 things I noticed about Wilson's play that he did a little bit differently than Tanner, which I think makes BYU a better football team. The first obviously is he can scramble, he can get away from pressure, he can extend the play. And instead of just throwing the ball away, and that was, like, you know, arguably one of Tanner's strengths is, okay, he threw the ball away, he avoided getting sacked. Whew. Instead, Wilson scrambles and he gets 6 or 7 yards. So instead of it being, you know, 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 6, it's now 2nd and 4 or 3rd and 1. So that's a big deal. Also, he's hitting guys in stride. And lastly, and you saw this exemplified on the last touchdown pass to Gunnar Romney, he's not underthrowing guys. That was one of Tanner's biggest weaknesses, is on the long ball, he would always underthrow guys. In fact, the miracle throw against Nebraska, the miracle in Lincoln, he admitted, like, oh, I actually underthrew that. And you saw that, you know, repeatedly just underthrows. But it looks like Wilson you know, might have the moxie to go out there and on a 4th down play, go for the long bomb and hit a guy in stride, which was just exciting. I mean, BYU hasn't put up this many points Since the 2016 season. It was just really fun to watch. And I will say this, Hawaii is Hawaii. Their defense is not great. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, the defense he played against wasn't great, but, man, we didn't put up that many points against East Carolina. We didn't put up that many points against McNeese State. We didn't put up that many points against Portland State. And then our defense was great. Our defense had four sacks. I think up until this point, we may have had four or five all season. And Hawaii's offense is legit. I mean, they are one of the highest scoring, highest averaging yards per game offense in the country. So it's not like the defense came out against a weak offense. That offense was legit. They had their starting quarterback, and it just feels good. I think we went from maybe we're not going to make a bowl game to okay, the bowl game is kind of like in the hip pocket now. Let's see if we can go out and do some damage to Boise and Utah. And I'll tell you this, I think, and K-Ray, tell me what your thoughts were. I'm really interested from a Utah fan's perspective, but I'm thinking Utah saw that game and thought, oh boy, now we actually have a game come November.
We do have several games in November, against Pac-12 opponents. I don't think we're nervous yet. I will say this, I mean, in all seriousness, I did think, wow, Wilson is good. And, I clearly you're a much better team. And I guess if I'm being honest, if I'm not being snarky, yeah, the thought crossed my mind. Well, it looks like maybe BYU may be able to field a competitive team when they come to Rice Eccles, 2 days after Thanksgiving. Sure. Yeah, that crossed my mind. I can admit that. I do think that Hawaii is really not very good, even though they had a good record. What I was most impressed with during that game was Katoa, the running back. I don't know where he's been all year, but that guy's a hard runner, man. That guy really, really put on a good show in the first half. It looks like he got pulled in the second half, and Matt Hadley actually had more yards. Matt Hadley had 91 yards, but Katoa's a tough little son of a gun for sure.
Yeah, one of the things that's really exciting about BYU is the amount of freshmen, at least on offense, that are kind of shining and getting significant playing time. Obviously Wilson, but then you have Gunnar Romney. Katoa's a freshman. You have a couple of receivers in addition to Romney, Milne, Holker, that are all freshmen. So at least on the offensive side of things, you have some linemen, Christensen, who's a freshman. On the offensive line, it looks like this could be the group that kind of consolidates and might put together a very special year in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, maybe Kalani, maybe all the recruiting prowess that was bragged about when he was hired, and then people kind of forgot about it. Maybe it's really coming true because clearly Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
Zach Wilson could be a four-year. He could be a four-year starter easily.
He could being a four-year starter. He's the youngest quarterback ever to start for BYU. I mean, he could have a lot of records. In the records book at the end of all this, if he stays healthy, if he continues to play well, but not to get too overexcited. It's been one game against a lackluster defense, that's for sure.
All right. So which team do you think is better at this point? Is it BYU or Utah?
I think it's Utah. I think it's pretty obvious it's Utah.
I don't know. I mean, is it the BYU team who showed up and beat Wisconsin and a 6-1 Hawaii team last week, or the Utah team who barely beat Northern Illinois? I don't know. It depends on which team shows up. I would say if they're playing on a neutral field, Vegas would probably have Utah a slight edge. But you know what? After this Saturday, I don't think by much.
I disagree. I mean, I think we dismantled Stanford and Arizona, and you guys dismantled Hawaii. I think those are vastly different opponents. Although it will be interesting. We'll have some more clarity because you all play Northern Illinois in a couple weeks. So that'll be interesting to see how another common opponent besides Arizona plays out.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll be very telling.
What's really interesting is just how similar the teams are. I mean, they both have these two identities where they just struggle and they can't get things going, and then they're both kind of coming into their own and kind of got the machine clicking, working on all cylinders. So yeah, it's getting exciting. It's all building up till that November game, so it is going to get interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, in all honesty, certainly the game in November is more exciting now than it was after the Utah State game. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really was mind-blowing to see what a different team this was with Wilson at the helm. I mean, finally, BYU has an exciting football team. And they were fun to watch. They were the high-scoring offense scoring on the supposed high-scoring Hawaii offense.
That
was fun. It was fun to watch. All right. So last week we updated our playoff predictions, but there are other teams that could break the playoffs. More specifically, let's focus on which teams control their own destiny. So which teams on the national scene, if they win out, control their own destiny? So let's start with UTC. What do you got?
Well, the first team that comes to mind is Alabama, clearly. They went out, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Ray, who's next?
The first four are probably pretty easy, but certainly Clemson, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, so we were getting into this before the show. I mean, obviously the top four, if they went out, they're in. You got, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. I mean, obviously, they're all undefeated. They all went out. They're all in. It's done. So, okay. So, moving down the list, Clemson plays NC State. So, NC State is also undefeated. What if they beat Clemson? Do they have a claim to break into the playoffs?
So, absolutely. If NC State wins the rest of their games, that would include beating Clemson this Saturday, they will be in the final four teams. I'll say this. When I actually went down and visited NC State right before the season and went in and was checking out the stadium, and we're going to try to meet with some players and stuff, and we were told by the administration, nope, they're busy, and they were in there lifting weights. They were putting in the work before the offseason. I genuinely believe if they went out, they are in.
Okay.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think any Power 5 team that wins out is in. That's just kind of the way the system's set up. I mean, if Vanderbilt were to win out, they'd be in. Can you imagine that? Winning out, SEC champions, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, they are the SEC champions. They would be in. No question. Any Power 5 school that wins out, they're not going to keep them out.
You mean that's already undefeated?
Yeah, I know. I'm saying in any given year, any Power 5 team, and this year, that's right now, that's NC State, and they are the only ones besides Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson who we've mentioned that are undefeated in a Power 5 conference,
okay.
I believe.
So those five.
Yep.
That's it. There's no, I mean, you got UCF still undefeated. You got Cincinnati, South Florida, and that's it. Those are the only other teams in the top 25 that are undefeated.
Yeah. Yes. But if LSU or Florida,
yep,
or Georgia or Kentucky, if
or Michigan.
Any, well, I don't want to go to Michigan yet. Just sticking with the SEC, if any SEC team wins out, not counting Alabama, they will be in. Because by definition, that means they will have beaten Alabama, knocked them out, and gotten in over them. And they would be kind of the highest, the next team taken. So I think all of those SEC teams still control their own destiny. They went out, they're in.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Including Georgia, who just lost. Absolutely.
Yeah, should be interesting. November 3rd, LSU plays Alabama. That'll be a big one. So, but, I mean, Okay, so when you say win out, you mean even the conference championship, right? I mean, you're including that, or you're just talking regular season win out?
No, no, they got to win their conference championship.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, then that would mean someone would have to beat Alabama, exactly. So
right.
Yeah.
So you're saying Georgia gets in over Alabama if Georgia, if they make it to the SEC championship game and they beat Alabama, then Georgia's in and Bama's out?
Absolutely.
Or Bama could be in as well, but Georgia would be in is the point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so then that brings us to the debate. Okay. So you got two SEC teams in, then who gets left out?
Wait, which two SEC teams are in?
Well, you're saying Georgia, if they beat Bama, and if that's Alabama's only loss, K-Ray just said they'd both get in.
I said it's possible they could both get in. Yes.
Not if you have an undefeated Notre Dame, an undefeated Ohio State, and an undefeated Clemson. By that's virtue correct. Of that, the championship of the SEC becomes yep. A quarterfinal playoff game, so to speak.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. All right, so you're saying the SEC champion gets in regardless.
If it's a undefeated or one loss team, yes. Yeah. I mean, you could have a two loss team, and then the SEC might be on the outside looking in, depending on where things go, but. Well, yeah. Okay, right. You were saying Michigan. You think they control their own destiny?
Yeah. I mean, if they went out, if they beat Ohio State and they win the Big Ten championship game, definitely. They have one loss. They would definitely be in if they beat Ohio State and they won the Big Ten championship.
So, yeah. So this is where I might disagree with you. I could foresee a scenario in which Michigan wins out. They beat an undefeated Ohio State. And you have a one-loss Alabama and a one-loss Georgia team, and both of them get in over a Michigan.
Potentially. I can't see him leaving out the champion of the Big Ten just because the media loves Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer.
More than Alabama?
More than Georgia.
Well, what if Georgia beats Alabama? And then they're in, and then you have a one loss Alabama. So who would get in? A one loss Alabama who barely loses to Georgia in the SEC championship, or a one loss Michigan?
A one loss Alabama would get in over a one loss Michigan. That's for sure.
So that's what I'm saying is Michigan does not control its own destiny then. Because there are scenarios in which they win out and they do not get in.
So you're saying a one-loss Alabama team, if they beat Alabama, would get in over a one-loss Michigan team?
A one-loss Georgia,
I mean.
Yeah, right.
I think it depends. I think you're right. I think you're right. But I do believe that a one-loss Michigan would get in. And I think they could safely think to themselves, we still control our own destiny.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, the chances are good, but it's not 100%. I mean, we're talking about 100% chance you get in if you win out the rest of your games. Now,
then that's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, LSU, and North Carolina State. I mean, Georgia's 8. Georgia's behind Texas right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I would add in Florida and Kentucky in there too.
Yeah. But I'm saying Texas. If Texas wins out and Georgia wins out, who's in?
I would say Georgia.
But you would think so, but right now Texas is ahead of Georgia. But they would, if assuming they beat Alabama, I mean, there's no guarantee. What you're doing is you're saying for sure Alabama's in the championship game. If Alabama could lose twice and not make the championship team.
Well, yeah.
Not make the championship game. And whoever plays them in the championship game could have one loss. So that's the point. That's not 100% either.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I'm just saying I'm looking at each team individually and saying if they win out, is there any scenario in which keeps them out, in which case they do not control their own destiny?
Yes.
So are there any others? Are there any others? A one loss Oklahoma, a one loss Texas, a one loss Colorado. I mean, all of those, they basically have to have some help in some way, shape, or form. The odds might be good. It might be 90% chance, but it's not 100.
Yep, that's true. So I guess the only people with a sure shot are Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame.
And any one loss SEC team at the moment.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, I disagree with that. That's what I'm saying. I disagree with that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's possible. I guess I could foresee a scenario in which Kentucky, wins the rest of their games and they say, well, you know, we're going to reward Texas because they played USC and a Big Ten team in Maryland. So it's possible. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
What if all the top four teams lose? I mean, most likely Notre Dame will not lose the rest of its games. But, okay, let's just suppose each one of the top four teams have a loss. They all have losses. UCF is one of the sole remaining undefeated teams. Do they get in?
I think that's a better question, actually. I think you have to put them in if they are the only undefeated team, because it would then undermine the entire credibility of the entire system. And I don't see how you leave them out if they're the only undefeated team. They've gone undefeated for 2 years in a row.
I think they're in. They got to be in. I agree. Well, then the question is, who gets out? Who are they kicking out? I mean, granted, it depends on who the other teams lose to, but one of those teams is going to be pissed. They're not going to be happy. So, and they... rightfully so. They probably had a much tougher schedule with a one loss. But yeah, I think if UCF's undefeated, they should get in. Absolutely. It's,
for UCF, they don't really need to be cheering for every team to lose. They just need only three teams to have one loss or less. Because if that fourth best team ahead of them has two losses, they will jump them. So you could have an undefeated Ohio State, you can have an undefeated Alabama, you can have an undefeated Clemson, but then you're going to need that next team, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia, whoever, to get that second loss. So they don't need to be concerned about teams one through three. It's that low man on the totem pole. They need to have two losses or more.
Yeah. That makes sense, right? Well, we still got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks left. So still a lot of football to play. Still a lot of football. So looking to next week, K-Ray, Utes have a real test against USC. So give us the breakdown on that game.
Yeah, I think Utes win again easily. I think they win by 21 points over 21. USC.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, USC got lucky against Arizona, and Arizona is a bad team. Now, USC did Utah a huge favor by beating Colorado last week, because now Utah controls their own destiny again in the Pac-12 South. If they went out, they're the Pac-12 South champs, because they'll have beaten every Pac-12 South team, and every Pac-12 South team will have a loss. We'll have two losses in conference now that Colorado has one loss. So we'd like to thank the Trojans for beating Colorado and thank them with a huge beatdown this Saturday night in Rice-Eccles.
Boy, well, is that it? Is that true? If Utah wins out, do they win the Pac-12 South? Because they've got two conference losses. Colorado could only have one. If they win.
If Utah wins out, they'll have beaten Colorado, and then Colorado will have two losses as well.
Then
head to head.
Yep, exactly.
Gotcha. So are we going to have to hear the rhetoric about you guys tied for third in the Pac-12 South again after this is all over?
No, we're winning the Pac-12 South.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
but if you guys are actually third, but you have the same record as the first and second place teams, are we going to hear the hey we're co-champions of the Pac-12 South? And even though the lowly Sun Bowl even passes over, we still claim the South championship or something.
We've only been co-champions once, and that was to UCLA. That was after our national championship in 2008. That was actually in 2014, actually. 2015, maybe. We've only been co-champions once. We've only sniffed it. Well, our first year in the conference, if we'd have beaten Colorado, which we should have done at the end of the game on a field goal, we'd have been Pac-12 South champs.
Yeah, yeah, that's because USC was on probation and they kicked everybody else's butt that year. I mean, Utah always has some loophole or something.
Dude, okay.
Something to shine a positive light on a subpar season. You guys, let's just see you guys actually win something for once in the conference, which you haven't okay. done yet.
Okay, so that's a good point, which means that you've lost every year to a subpar Pac-12 team. That's what that's all you're saying right there.
That's true. Yeah.
That's all you're saying.
full circle there.
Anyway.
All right. So, K-Ray, give us your thoughts. I'm K-Ray. We just went through K-Ray's thoughts. TC, give us your thoughts on the USC.
I'll give him again. I'll start over.
Hey, look, I just want one of these Pac-12 South teams to actually show up when they play Utah. And I mean, Arizona.
We're just better than them.
Golly, I mean, it's just like, are you guys going to put a game on? No, I think USC, they've struggled this year, but they beat Colorado, so maybe they might be putting things together. They started a true freshman to begin the year, so he might be over his bumps and bruises. So they're not going to win by 21 points. I will place a wager right now with you, K-Ray. I don't know. I mean, I'll give you like my family basketball trophy if somehow Utah wins by, you know, three
touchdowns. You lost the family basketball trophy. You lost it. What do you mean? You don't even have it anymore.
Then that makes it pretty easy to wager then. But no, Utah is not going to beat USC by three touchdowns. They're favored by less than a touchdown by Vegas. I will say I was wrong about Arizona. K-Ray was right. But no, USC has way too much talent. I do think Utah probably wins the game, but it's going to be a close game.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Moving on to the BYU bye week. TC, what does BYU need to work for going in? What do they need to work on, if anything, going into the bye week?
I think it's just getting guys on the same page as Wilson. You know, he had basically 1 week to prepare for his first start. He did great. It was against, you know, a pretty weak defense. So I think it's just getting him more reps with the first team. And, you know, really, it's not just about Wilson. It's these other freshmen that are starting to emerge. Romney, Katoa, Holker had a touchdown catch. It's these other guys, and they're just getting time and gelling. And you got 2 weeks to kind of look back and say, hey, we just beat a 6-1 Hawaii team. Get their confidence going. And then on defense, man, whatever Tuiaki dialed up, keep doing it. They actually decided to pressure the quarterback, which, you know, we haven't really seen all this year. So keep coming up with blitz schemes. I don't know that much about Northern Illinois aside from, you know, what I saw in the Utah game. They look like they have a pretty decent defense, so it should be a decent test. But, yeah, I expect us to win that game. We can talk more about that next week. But, yeah, it's basically just getting guys to gel and keep up the aggressiveness on defense.
Okay. K-Ray, what say you about BYU's bye week? Is this a good time to have a bye week? Is this a bad time? Or what are your thoughts?
I want to know what the BYU students are going to do without their cougar tails this week. That's my biggest question. Because ESPN spent a whole segment on cougar tails and fawning. They must be good. I mean, I kind of want one now. I got to admit, I've never had a
Cougar tail. Oh man.
Never had a cougar tail. But now I'd like one because they look pretty good. So that's my biggest concern on the bye week is what happens without the cougar tails in Provo.
Well, you want to know what's really good with the cougar tails is you get a cougar tail and you buy a bratwurst and you cut the cougar tail in half and put the bratwurst in there and eat it all with the cougar tail. Man, that's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So I remember ESPN actually did another game earlier this year and they featured the brat tail, which is exactly what Stu Double just said.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the good one. Yeah, that's the best.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, on that note, good podcast, guys.
All right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
We got
it
covered this week.
All right, until next week, we are out. Peace.
We gotta do it. We gotta do it, guys. Wait a minute. I gotta look up the box score. Come on, man.
What's up?
He's in. We got TC. Right. So, all right. Let me get this straight on this serpentine style thing here. All right. We go through the games, and then we say, okay. I'm gonna say last week we updated our playoff predictions. But there are other teams that could break the playoffs. More specifically, let's focus on which teams control their own destiny. Yes. So teams, if they win out, control their own destiny. Then I go to TC. What team do you say, if they control their own destiny, gets in outside of the four we've already talked about?
No.
Okay, so you say Alabama. Then we go, okay, K-Ray, give us your take. Then you say... What, Clemson?
I say Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame. So the first four, easy, right? Then that's when we really got to get into it.
Right.
Well, how long are we going to go?
Well, there's not that many teams, so we're not going to go very long.
Well, there could be a lot. I mean, it all depends on. Well, okay.
That's the discussion we want to have.
Let's not have the discussion now, man. Let's do this.
Well, it's basically four teams, the top four right now.
No,
if they win out.
No, that's okay. Let's just save it and it plays out. You'll be surprised.
Yeah, like NC State is undefeated. If they win out, they're in.
Not, and if they win out, man.
Let's save the discussion, guys.
That's
save
the point.
It. Here's the thing. We're going to have to look at the schedules of every single team.
No.
Okay, whatever. I'll let you guys handle it. I'm telling you, it's not much to discuss, man. It's a week.
We've already had 5 minutes of discussion on it.
If we should discuss it. Whatever. All right, let's just get this thing going. Let's get it rocking and rolling here.
Dude, some podcasts have like a gag reel at the end of the podcast. We should put a gag reel at the end of our podcast.
Dude, seriously, you should include this.
Oh, yeah, the end of the, the gag reel, yeah.
You shouldn't say, and for extra entertainment, here's our discussion on what we actually tried to come up with to talk.